Listen, we're going to finish our message today, and we're not going to really finish it because we're going into something. The Lord has instructed me, and you can see how we have gradually went from talking about what redemption is to how words are tied into the plan of redemption. Somebody say words. Today, my message is going to be titled The Voice of Redemption. Redemption has a voice, and I want to show it to you today in the Word of God. Amen. We're going to recap a few things just to kind of help solidify this truth of redemption. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, the Bible says, as in Adam, somebody say in Adam, all men die. How many men die in Adam? But the Bible says, but in Christ, all men shall be made alive. So he's giving you two identifications. The word in is an English preposition that denotes location. Every single person on planet Earth, no one is exempt from this identification. We are either in the first man, Adam, or we are in the last man, Adam. If we are in the first man, Adam, the outcome of our life is the curse. Somebody say the curse. Now, the word curse, you can find one translation. It literally means degrading words. Now, I taught you that in the book of Genesis, Adam, the Bible said he walked with God in the cool of the day. The word cool is translated into Hebrew language as spirit. Adam walked in the spirit of the day, or Adam walked in the spirit. He was in constant, unbroken fellowship with God. He did not have a vocabulary of death within him. He didn't know what death was. Come on, somebody say amen. He didn't know what poverty was. He didn't know what sickness was. He didn't know what disease was. He was the God man. Amen. And this man, Adam, lived in close, unbroken, unhindered, reliable, trusted, dependable fellowship with God daily. God didn't come and go. God was in him. God was upon him. God walked with him. Come on, somebody say amen to this. God walked with this man of God. Amen. And as he walked with him, this man was able to do things that were supernatural in nature. Here's what I mean. You and I, our original intended plan from God is that we be supernatural beings. You need to catch this right here. We are not just natural people. We're not just fleshly people or carnal people just trying to get by in life. The reason why we live out of that mentality is because it is a mindset. Walking in the flesh is a mindset, as equally walking in the spirit is a mindset. In order for me to walk in the flesh, I have to mind spiritual things, the book of Romans says. I mean fleshly things. In order for me to walk in the spirit, I have to mind spiritual things. Galatians says, whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. Whatever man plants, that shall he also harvest. So if I want a harvest of spiritual things, I got to do what? I got to plant spiritual things. But if I want a harvest of carnal, natural, cursed, death things, then I'll continue to plant carnal, natural, cursed, dead things. Are you catching what I'm saying? Y'all catching this right here? So this man of God was supernatural in nature. Come on, say now. Say this after me. Say, I am not a carnal being. I am a spiritual being. Hear what I'm about to say. I'm going to call him my daddy because I love him that much. But I'm going to quote Bill Winston. Listen to this right here. You and I are not natural beings having a spiritual experience. You and I are spiritual beings having a natural experience. So the natural is subsidiary to the spiritual life. That means that more emphasis need to be placed on the spiritual life. That's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 4 that man, somebody say man. He wasn't talking about male. He was talking about male and female. Because a lot of times when we say man, we make it gender. But man is mankind. Male and female. God said, let us make man, male and female in our image. Watch this right here. He said, man shall not live by bread all by itself or bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the source of our life is God's word. And unless we make God's word the source of our life, we'll continue to live the in Adam realities rather than the in Christ realities. And now let me just turn the coin over right here. It's important that we're taught this message because we have a lot of people that have good and great overwhelming intentions to be what God called them to be, but they don't know the pathway to get there. It's impossible for you to walk over here in the flesh and attain what God has for you in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God requires that you and I walk in the spirit. It requires that you and I have the source of our life being God's word. Are y'all catching this right here? I'm just kind of laying a foundation right quick. I just want you to see that there is, this is the truth. This ain't one day when you get to heaven. This is right now. The Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he separated the identities. He said there is an in Adam identity, and then there is an in Christ identity. Somebody say, I am in Christ. Those of us who are in Christ, we have received what we have painted this picture of for the last month called redemption. Somebody say redemption. The word redemption literally means to buy back from being in bondage. Colossians chapter 1 verse 14, because I'm going somewhere today. I just want you to follow me. Write the scriptures down. Colossians 1 and 14 says, in whom? Somebody say in whom. You can translate that in him. Remember, the English preposition that denotes location. Because you are a new creature. You are born again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if any man, there we go again, any man, mankind, be in Christ, he's a new creature. The word creature there means creation. One who has never, ever existed before. I got to paint this in your head. I wouldn't be a good pastor if I didn't point it out to you. The you that you are right now is not the you that you used to be before you came to that altar. I'm going to say it again. The you that you are right now is not the you that you used to be. Now, you might have done what they said that you did, but you're not the person that they say that you are. You are who God says you are. And we have to keep preaching a word so it can put that thing inside the mind of us wonderful, anointed, born-again believers. That's what the Bible calls it, good news. Somebody say good news. Because you've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. You're not the same person. You ain't got to sit down and talk about what used to be and what used to happen. Who used to do that to you? No, that ain't even you no more. Tell your neighbor, I said, hey, it wasn't me. You got to catch what I'm saying. You may have done what they say you did, but you're not the person that they say that you are. And so many people are getting confused with this because they're still over here playing around in the flesh, but they want to pray and God to answer prayers. But guess what? The Bible said you can't inherit kingdom if you're walking in the flesh. So my job is to get you out of this over here. Come on, somebody say amen. You got to catch what I'm saying right here. Amen. Take it and say you can have hope. You can have great expectation. It says, in whom, Colossians 1 and 14, we have received redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Tell your neighbor, say, I've been redeemed. Galatians 3 and 13 and 14, Holy Spirit, I thank you right now. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Well, what is the curse of the law? It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 on. Everybody say this. Say, poverty, sickness, and death. That's the manifestation of the curse. Now, I'm going to say it again. Poverty, sickness, and death. That's the manifestation of the curse. I just gave you a scripture that said that you are no longer cursed. That means you do not have to tolerate poverty, sickness, and you hear what I'm saying? Spiritual death. You do not have to tolerate it. Why? Because you are no longer under the curse. Come on, say that one time. Say, I'm no longer under the curse. So you're being taught something good today. You've been redeemed. You've been bought back. You belong to Jesus. You are not your own. You've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm gonna say something powerful to you just to just get this in your spirit. So when you walk out of here, you'll never ever once again have an image problem with you. See, the law of exchange says if I'm gonna buy something, I gotta have equivalent to the thing that I'm trying to buy, something that is equivalent to it. So if I want to buy me a Bentley, I'm going to have the money that is equivalent to the Bentley. I'm not going to take $5 and buy a Bentley. It's not going to happen. I'm not even going to take $5 and get me a pair of Air Jordans. Why? Because that which I have is not equivalent to what I'm trying to purchase. Well, the Bible says that you and I were purchased by the blood of Jesus. You got to catch what I just said. The law of exchange says you have to have something equal to what you're trying to purchase in order for you to purchase it. Somebody caught what I said. Everybody caught what I said. See, God loved you so much, he took his best to get you. You got to catch what I'm saying here. See, you and I shouldn't have any kind of image problem. Yes, yes. Amen. We shouldn't have any kind of image problem. We shouldn't have any kind of, you know, self-esteem problem. Why? Because God thought that you were worth so much that it took Jesus to get you back. Here you go. Here we go. Somebody say, help us, Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. But of him are ye what? In Christ. Somebody say, in Christ. Who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Turn to Ephesians 1 and 7. I just want you to see it one more time. Ephesians 1 and 7. Because we want to paint this thing in your mind. I'm telling you what. You know what you could be doing? I don't care what it is that you're going through. Hey, when the bill gets sent to your house, look at the bill and say, I've been redeemed. When the doctor send that note to your house, look at the note and say, I've been redeemed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've been redeemed. I'm going to show it to you here, what your words got to do with your redemption. Ephesians 1 and 7. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. Stop right there. In who? In him. In him we have what? Through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. What is redemption? The word redemption means the purchase back of something that had been lost by the payment of a ransom. There's three words that describe redemption. Write these down, but you should already know them. Let's start them off. What's the first word? You should already know them. That describe redemption. What's the first word? Release. Y'all better not get this wrong no more. The first word for redemption is release. Somebody say release. The second word is what? Recovery. What's the third word? Restoration. To be redeemed means that you've been released from the bondage and the obligation to the pain of your past. You don't have to revisit it anymore. When you revisit it, it's not because it's God's will that you revisit it. You revisit it because you don't really know who you are. Because if you knew who you were, you wouldn't go back and visit somebody that you're not. If you knew who you were, you wouldn't go back and visit somebody that you're not. How do you visit them? You rehash it by talking about it. I used to do this. I used to do that. I used to be with this one. I used to be with that one. The more you talk about it, the bigger it gets. Matter of fact, you can get around people that might smell like the person you used to be with, and it triggers that old man. But the Bible said you have to pull down those strongholds. Who is he talking about? You, the real you, that spirit man made in the image and the likeness of God. You have to present your body a living sacrifice. You have to present it. God ain't going to make you bring your body to prayer. God ain't going to make you bring your body to church. God ain't going to make you bring your body to confess the word. You, the real you, the spirit man made in the image and likeness of God on the inside of you. You got to submit to the power of the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And you got to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable worship or spiritual service. And guess what? Then you'll be able to prove that which is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Come on, get the Lord a hand clap. Say, let me say this, disciple talk. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is the Amplified. Because he has anointed me to preach the good news. Somebody say good news. If you are anointed, you will be preaching good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. Now watch this right here. Ain't it amazing that some of the things that we just said is happening to people in the body of Christ? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Somebody say, no vision. The Amplified says, where there is no redemptive revelation, the people perish. That means if you do not have an understanding or a revelation of the plan of redemption, you will continue to be defeated. Are you catching what I'm saying? Watch this right here. You know, today I was digging through my wallet, and I came here, and I grabbed my ID. And I put my ID in my wallet, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, son, you remember when you was at the hotel? He said, they required your ID in order for you to access what belonged to you, even though you already paid for it. I'm going to speak something over your life right now. Even though Jesus already paid for you to be released, even though Jesus already paid for you to receive recovery of sight, even though he already paid for you to be restored, it requires you to know your ID. You got to catch what I'm saying. If you don't know your identification in Christ, you'll never attain what God put you here for. I'm trying to teach you something. You got to know who you are in Christ. Forget about what mama and them said you are. Forget about what your homeboys and your homegirls said you are. Forget about what side of the track you was raised on. You got to forget those things that are behind so you can press toward the mark for the prize which is found in Christ Jesus. There is no materialization of what's in the kingdom if you're still dealing with what's in darkness. My God, if you're in a dark room, cut the light on. Just cut it on. Don't walk around in the dark beating your knees up against chairs. That's what most believers are doing right now. They don't know where they're going. But the word says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That means without the word, you don't have no light as a believer. Come on, somebody say amen. We're going to get there. Take it, say, I've been released. I've received recovery of sight. And I've been restored. Now, I'm going to say something right now because you need to hear this right here. The Bible says in verse 19, Luke chapter 4, verse 19, it says to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord. The day when the salvation, the free favors of God profusely abound. Now, Jesus was quoting Isaiah chapter 61. But notice that Jesus did not say what Isaiah 61 said at the end. Isaiah 61 said this right here. The day of vengeance of our God. So favor and vengeance is synonymous. The word favor means that you are preferred above somebody else. And that somebody else is vengeance to them. I'm just trying to show you something right here. See, to be restored means that you're going to get back not only what you, and I'm quoting Pastor Bill again because I love him so much, but you're not just going to get back whatever you lost. You're going to get back all the way back to Adam. And that's what we're working on right here. You got to catch this right here. Because Jesus said repent. Somebody say repent. The word repent don't mean to fall on your knees and start crying about what you did. That would be remembering what you did. The word repent is a Greek word that means to change the way you think. You got to catch what I'm saying. See, Jesus brought a whole nother mindset to the body of Christ when he came. He said change the way you think and it'll change the way you live. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You and I are a direct reflection of what we think about the most. That's why Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate day and night so that you can observe. The word observe means see in order to do so that you'll make your way prosperous. The reason why we're not doing because we can't see, and the reason why we're not seeing is because we're not meditating. Reason why we're not meditating because we ain't putting the word in our mouth. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night so you can see to do, and then you'll make your way prosperous. So if you're not saying God's word, you're not seeing what God says. And if you're not seeing what God says, guess what? You're not able to do what God says. And if you're not able to do what God says, guess what? Your way can't be made prosperous. You can't have good success, but guess what? You got the word, and that's all you need. You don't need favor with no boss. You don't need no big bank account. All you need is the word. I'm going to show it to you right now because, see, everybody telling us about the economy, and it's a shame that Christians are turning the television on and listening to that foolishness. That's foolishness. The Bible says that it will not come nigh you. I told somebody on the phone the other day, and it was a man of God. He was a minister, but he's not a charismatic minister. But I told him, I said, if God got to get a dirty bird to fly over to my house and drop me off a bucket of chicken, he will take care of his own. You better catch what I'm saying. You ain't got to lie to nobody. You ain't got to steal to nobody. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will recompense. That means that God will take care of what belongs to him. What kind of daddy you think you got? You better catch what I'm saying. I'm a daddy and I got babies and mine is grown and I'm still helping take care of them. You better hear what I'm saying. You think your daddy wants you sick in your body? What kind of daddy do you think you got? You think your daddy wants you broke? What kind of daddy do you think you got? You better get a redemption revelation. The The Bible said if you and I, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much more does your heavenly Father, you, man. And see, people missing church because they don't believe God will take care of them. But we come into the days where the arm of the flesh ain't going to be able to supply for you. No matter how much you think it up and try to fix it up, it ain't going to take care of you. Ooh, we come into the days of the favor of God. That means you're going to step out the door, open up your mailbox, you're going to be like, where did that come from? It's called favor. Somebody going to work all week long, get their paycheck, God going to give them a dream because it's called favor. You better catch what I'm saying. I heard a man of God say this. He's from Florida. He said he was preaching to a small group of people. He's a mega church pastor now, but he was in the days where we are right now. And he said him and his wife would come, and he said Sunday nights would be him, his wife, and less than 20 people. Our pastor, Zachary Timms, he says I'm powerful. He said that one day, he said it was a gentleman sitting out there in a t-shirt and blue jeans in the back of the congregation. He said he looked like a homely man. I mean, he didn't look like somebody that looked like he could do anything financially. He said, and I've been confessing the word, like I do every day and my wife do every day. He said, I've been confessing the word. The Lord supplies our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And he said, this man was sitting in the back. I'm about to bless you. He said, he was sitting in the back of the church. And he said, I just preach the word like I always do. He said, after service, this man came up to me and said, your name's Zachary Timms? He said, yeah. He said, God been giving me dreams about you, and he won't let me let him go. He said, I need to speak to you right now in your office. He said, I was a little bit afraid to take him off. He said, because I had mismatched furniture. My desk was all nicked up and scratched up. He said, but nevertheless, I wanted to see what God was telling him. He said, I went back to the office. The man opened up his mouth. I mean, he was just like, without no patience. He said, how much debt do you have? And Zachary Tim said, I got $13,000 in debt. Because he was thinking small. But that's not what God told the man. The man had already told, God already told the man the figure. He said, $13,000. Man, pull out a wallet out of his front pocket, wrote a check for $13,000, left. Zachary Tim was shouting and praising God at home with his wife, baby, we got $13,000. Amen. And then God spoke to him and said, that's a lie. He said, you don't have $13,000 in debt. You have $23,000 in debt. He said, why don't you tell him what you owe? He said, well, Lord, I promise you, if that man come back, I'll tell him everything. Next service, that man was sitting in the church. God gave that man another dream. Somebody say another dream. Went back to the office. The man said, God told me you didn't tell me the whole truth. God told me you owe more debt. How much do you owe? He said, $23,000. The man wrote the balance of the check, but here's what he did. He wrote it all the way up to $30,000. Here's what Zachary Tim said out of his own mouth. He said, that same man God has spoke to numerous times, and he's wrote checks for millions of dollars for his ministry. I'm trying to show you something. God will take care of his own. Quit trying to think you got to take care of you. Come on, say amen to this. Quit trying to think you got to take care of you. Man. See, you tell your neighbor, say, we got to get this Adam out of us. Because, see, Adam, he works the sweat of his brow. Adam is a toiler. Adam gets everything by the work of his hands. We're about to take you somewhere. Tell your neighbor, say, redemption has a voice. Listen. When Jesus was talking about the favor of the Lord there, it meant two things. In the book of Leviticus chapter 25, verses 8 through 55, it meant that slavery was ended and property was returned. Inheritance was regained. That means everything that belongs to you. The book of Joel tells us in chapter 2 that what the moth, the canker worm, the palmer worm, what they have stole from you, what they have eaten from you, God said, I will restore. Now, here's the question. Let's find out how much he's going to restore. And I've never heard a man of God preach on this, but the Holy Ghost has been dealing with me about it. So I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Acts chapter 3, verse 21. And I want you to see it. Verse 20 and verse 21. We're going to see how much God is going to restore. Now, somebody say restore. Now, let's get out of our vocabulary. Listen, let's get out of our vocabulary, amen, that this is talking about heaven. Let's get it out of all of our vocabulary. Because guess what? You cannot receive what you don't believe. So my job as a pastor is to show you into the word what it is so you can start believing. Because once your believer is up, your receiver is going to be accessed. You can only receive what you believe. Come on, somebody say amen. Now look at this right here. Verse 20. It says, he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, Verse 21, let's read all together on count three. 1, 2, 3. Whom the heaven must receive until the time of what? Restitution of what? Stop right there. The word restitution is translated in the Greek restoration. Somebody say restoration. See, when I used to commit criminal acts, well, the old guys, tell them, say, hey, it wasn't me. The old guy used to commit criminal acts. There was one time I stole 3 cars. Well, he stole 3 cars way back in the day. Amen. It was back when I was like 17. Stole 3 cars and I took some different stuff like that. During the time I was on probation for 6.5 years, I had to pay what was called restitution. Restitution was equivalent to restoring the people back the thousands of dollars of damage that I did to their property. See, the devil got to pay you. I'm trying to tell you something. See, he's done damage throughout your whole entire bloodline, not just you. I'm talking about what he did to your mama, what he did to your daddy. He owes you. You better catch what I'm saying. But see, you can't receive it unless you believe it. See, you got to start believing that this is not the life I'm supposed to live. I ain't supposed to be running around here strung out on drugs and, you know what I'm saying, hopping from boyfriend to boyfriend, girlfriend to girlfriend until I figure out who loves me, baby. All you got to do is find out that God loves you. And once you realize God loves you, you don't need nobody else to love you. Man. Tell you, say he's going to restore all things. Now let's see how he's going to do it. Watch this right here. Tell you, say redemption has a voice. Isaiah 48, turn there right quick. We are doing good. I'm going to get this out. Isaiah 48, verses 17 through 20. Turn there real quick. I don't want you just to listen. I want you to listen and write this down. Because as you get this thing in your spirit, it's going to bless you. I'm telling you. See, my daughter called me 6 o'clock in the morning. And she said, Daddy, she said, me and Sister Jessica was up praying and pacing the floor, praying in tongues all night. And she said, Daddy, she said, the Lord told me there's a shift happening. And you know what? I believe it. I'm not looking at what I see. I believe that there's a shift happening. You know what? Because God is sending me those who want this shift. Because I'd rather have 50 people that believe the word. Because once we all believe, then we can all get in agreement. Once we get in agreement, nothing is impossible. But I can have 200 people and all of them living carnal and don't believe what the words say because they're still battling on whether I should be able to drink or not or smoke or not or cuss or not or did Jesus pay? He paid for the sin, but yet I could still go out and sin. The Bible said, listen, just because you're under grace don't mean that you sin. Can I flip the other side of the coin? The Bible said, whoever is born of God sinneth not. The wicked one does not touch him. I'm trying to tell you something. There's a power on the inside of you that gives you the ability to say no to everything that's trying to take you away from what God has from you. But guess what? All you got to do is access that power by faith. You ain't going to do it in your own self. You know, you try to resist that thing will put a whooping on you. But when you get up in the morning, you open up your mouth and begin to say, Lord God, no matter what I feel like, no matter what it looks like, I'm going to say what you say. All of a sudden, that power starts increasing in your life. And then people come around you trying to get you off your faith. And you say, no, no, no. I'm going to tell you something. Remember the movie Matrix? See, Neo kept trying to figure out who he was till one day he finally died. Once he died, he got back up and he said, he starts seeing himself. He starts seeing himself when he died. And the problem that was bothering him, he ran, jumped inside of it, boom, and exploded. That's the kind of grace you got on your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. I thought when I read my Bible, it said the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit. Check your dictionary. Same is translated identical. That means the stuff that Jesus had, you have right now. Not going to get it one day. You got the stuff that made him walk on water. You got the stuff that make him speak the storms. I'm telling you right now, and I decree it, and I don't care what it looks like. No weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon. No weapon. No weapon. No devil in hell can stop you from being and doing what God called you to be and do. I'm just releasing it in the atmosphere. No sickness, no disease. For your body is the temple of God. How does God look living in a sick house? You better catch what I'm saying. He got streets paved in gold, but he got a sick house. That ain't God's will. You got to turn your believer up. My God. I just release it. All of Adrian, Michigan will hear this word from this house. In Jesus' name, by radio, by television, by worldwide internet, by tapes, by CDs. I decree it right now in Jesus' name that this is the city of Eden. It's not the city of Hadrian. I declare that suicide, homosexuality, and perversion is broken off of this city in Jesus' mighty name. I decree it now. I release it by faith right now. I decree it right now. See, the devil don't want the word taught here. He don't want the word taught in this city. He don't mind people running around in Superman suits trying to please people. He don't mind that mess right there. But he don't want the word taught because guess what? That Superman suit ain't going to get you to know who you are. You better catch what I'm saying. I decree it right now. I declare that teenagers will not get pregnant before their time. I declare right now they will not be incarcerated. I decree it right now in Jesus' mighty name. I decree it right now. People that's been alcoholics for generations, hear what I'm saying? Generations, I decree that bloodline curse is broke. It's broke right now. I don't care what nobody think about me. I decree it right now in Jesus' mighty name. I decree it right now. Because you know what? I'm about to show you some things in the Word of God that's going to make you get your boldness up. And you're going to start speaking instead of trying to fix everything. I told my wife the other day, I said, baby, we got to quit trying to fix everybody's problems. I ain't God. I said, all I got to do is agree with God. What did God say about that situation? Oh, this is what he said. Okay, then let's start saying what he said. I told you, God told Moses, quit hitting the rock. Speak to the rock. See, you've been hitting your rock trying to figure out how you going to pay your bills and how you going to fix your husband, how you going to fix your wife, and how you going to fix your kids. God wants you to talk to that thing. Here we go. Tell you, said redemption has a voice. We're going to see what I call the consistent nature of God. Anything that's a truth in the Word of God, you can see it consistently happening. Isaiah 48, 17 through 20. Look what it says here, verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord. I am the Lord, thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that you should go. Verse 20. Go ye forth in Babylon. Flee from the Chaldeans. Watch this. With a voice of singing, declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the ends of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant. What is he trying to tell you? Doesn't matter what it looks like, start talking about what you want it to look like. Psalm 107 verse 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath delivered out of the hand of the enemy. Now, redemption has a voice, and that voice is called the voice of faith. When you and I are in faith, we don't need physical evidence in order to trust or believe God. John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. Write that down. Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, or twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hands into his side, I will not believe. See, that's a lot of believers right now, but I break that curse right now. Believers don't live by what they see. They live by what they see. They don't live by what they see. They live by what they see. Well, how do you change what you see? You get what God's word says so you can see. Then you say so you can see. Here we go right here. It says, after 8 days, again, the disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. One translation said the doors was locked and he walked through. What did he do? He didn't pop the locks open. He walked through the walls. Lord, have mercy. And stood in their midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand. thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but be believing. And Thomas answered and said, my Lord, my God. One translation said, my master. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen, and yet they believe. What is the evidence that we believe without seeing? What is the evidence that we believe without seeing? Turn to 2 Corinthians 4 and 13. Here's the evidence that we believe. You can't say that you are a believer if this is not operating in your life. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. See, Thomas, he had to see it in the natural. And see, that's what most of us do. We throw fleeces before God and we say, God, if it's your will, this is what's supposed to happen. No, no, no. That's seeing before you believe. God wants you to believe because you got an inner witness in your spirit based upon the word of God that you have deposited in your human spirit over the course of time. Now you start believing what you see in here rather than what you see out here. Now, look at what it says in verse 13. It says, while we what? What it say? It said, but us having the same because we, come on, because we believe, therefore we have what? So if you are a believer, guess what? You'll say what you believe. The evidence that you are a believer is that you say what you believe. The evidence that you are believing for healing is that you're saying it even when you don't see it. The evidence that you believe that you're prospering is that you're saying, my God will supply my need, even when your need is still right there in front of your face. The evidence that you are a believer, you are saying what God says. Now, Romans chapter 10 says this right here. Let me just show you something right quick, because we going to the other side. Tell your neighbor, we're going to the other side. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Tell your neighbor, said that we're going to see the consistent nature of God. Romans chapter 10. Look what it says, verse 8. It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee. Where is it at? Where's the word at? Where's the word at? Watch this. And in your heart, that is the word of faith that we preach. That if thou shalt what? Confess. Somebody say confess. Now, the word confess is the Greek word homologio, which means to say the same thing. If you was here Wednesday, you would have heard what I said about Pastor Mark Hankins. Same a thing. Same a thing. That means whatever you're going through, don't allow your lips to release what it looks like. Allow your lips to release what it looks like. My God, I'm trying to help you here. I'm trying to help you here. Tell your neighbor, say, you got to say what you see. Now turn to Hebrews. We're going to see the consistent nature of God. Turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Because we're going somewhere. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. You ready? On the count of three, read. One, two, three. For the word of God is quick. This is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says the word of God is what? And what? And what? Than any two-edged sword piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Watch this. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and open in his eyes, of whom we have to believe. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us what? Hold fast to our what? The word profession is the word confession in the Greek, homologio. What does homologio mean? Same a thing. Say the same. Now, the accurate translation, whether people believe it or not, is this right here. It means to say together with the same thing. If you study in the Greek. So what is it telling you? It's telling you that what God has said, you get alongside of God and you say what God says. Don't say what you see. Because if you keep saying what you see, you're going to see what you're saying. See, Job said this right here. He said, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. Wasn't God will for him to have boils and for him to lose his family? But guess what? He was always talking about it. And the thing that he greatly feared, it came upon him. And see, some old ignorant preacher get up and start telling you it was God's will for Job to have boils and stuff. That was not God's will. You got to study the word. My God, you ready? Tell your neighbor, say, let's see the consistent nature of God. See, I told you, not everybody going to like this kind of teaching. This stuff right here is for the Holy Ghost people. It's going to get you to the promised land. It's going to get you to the promised land. Watch this. Instead, watch this. This is going to get you where you need to go. Rather than you sitting back praying and crying for God to give you something that he already gave you. The Bible said it's your inheritance. Tell your neighbor, say it's your inheritance. See, I don't got to work for an inheritance. It's mine by right. My God, you got to hear what I'm trying to say. It's your inheritance to be healed. It's your inheritance to be blessed. It's your inheritance to have the good marriage you're supposed to have, the family you're supposed to have. Amen. That's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, that you and I got to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on to eternal life. Same word there in Hebrew 4, lay hold of. It's fighting terms. When he said fight, it means to agonize. It means to contend with somebody. You get up in the morning, you start agonizing with your flesh. Your flesh say sickness, but you say, no, I am healed. Kenneth Copeland said this right here. I quoted Psalms 53 and 5, 900 and something times before it manifested. Some people quit at 12. What are you doing? You letting the devil know, I know what's mine. I know what belongs to me. And guess what? I ain't tolerating that mess no more. Are you hearing what I'm saying? My God, let me tell you who you are. You are the church. You are the ekaleo, the ecclesia. You are the called out. You've been summoned by the Holy Ghost to gather together, to be taught by the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, so you can be perfected. Why? So you can work the ministry. What is the ministry? Build up the body. Why? Because God got seven mountains out there that he wants you obtaining and getting on and possessing. He wants his church over the education. He wants the church over the medical. He wants the church over the family. You better catch what I'm saying. He don't want no heathens running his people. I'm trying to tell you something. I wouldn't put nothing over the word of God. I wouldn't put nobody over the word of God. Mama, daddy, greasy grandpappy, kids, grandkids. Listen, I'm just trying to tell you right now. I wouldn't put nothing over the word. Because whatever you put before God, God, it'll be removed. Whatever you compromise to keep, you will eventually lose. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Here we go. Let's look at the consistent nature of God. In order to validate this truth, let's search out the consistent nature of God, the Father. Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to walk through this thing, and it's going to bless you. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God, what? He created. The word created is the Hebrew word bara, which means to dispatch. I'm going to say it again. The word created in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word bara, which means to dispatch. In the beginning, God dispatched. He released words. Genesis 2 and 2. The earth was without form, void, empty, chaotic. Darkness covered it. But the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God, moved. 7363, the Hebrew word brooded, which means a chicken sitting on top of its eggs until they hatch. Jeremiah 1 and 12 said, I will hasten my word. I will watch over my word to see that it comes to pass. Know that when you speak the word, the Spirit of God is like a chicken sitting down. You may catch what I'm saying. The Spirit of God is going to bring that thing to pass. We ain't done. Let's look at the consistent nature of God. Genesis. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 3 said, God said, light be. He didn't grab a shovel. He didn't grab a rake. He didn't go call Detroit Edison or Consumers Energy. He just released out of his mouth, light be. Now, everything God created, you can look throughout the whole chapter, Genesis chapter 1. The Bible said he also called it. Somebody say called. The word called is the Hebrew word kwara. That word has four definitions. It means to cry out. Somebody say cry out. To proclaim. To name. And to summon. So what did God do? God took his nature, which is consistent, and he passed that nature down to man. What is his nature? He has the ability to call things that be not as though they were. Romans 4 and 17 says that God gives life to dead things. And he calls things that be not as though they were. He doesn't look at the situation and say, oh, look at that situation. This is what it is. No, whatever he wants it, he calls it. He proclaims it to be what he wants it. He cries out. I'm trying to show you something. He don't just sit back and say, I hope my circumstance changed. No, God cries out, light be, and there was light. I'm trying to tell you something right now. This is the consistent nature of God. So he passed that nature to man. Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness and give him what? Dominion. Give him what? Dominion. To rule over what? All the earth. Adam was the God man. So verse 19 in chapter 2 and verse 20. Turn there. Genesis chapter 2 verse 19 and 20. Come on, flow with me right quick. Write it down if you can't move. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. How many beasts of the field? All of them. Every fowl of the air. How many? And brought them unto Adam to see what he would quarrel, what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam called. The word gave there is quarrel. He called names to all the cattle. What did he do? When Adam opened up his mouth, he said, bear. And I'm trying to tell you something right now. He gave names. He gave identity to every living thing. That's the anointing that was upon him. I'm trying to show you something right here. See, God didn't create cancer. We called it. God didn't create HIV. We called it. I'm trying to tell you something. See, if your dog is running down the street and he's way down there, you get up and you don't say, hey, Pookie Pookie, come on over here. No, you don't do that right there. You say, hey, come on over here. See, everybody got mad at Dr. Leroy Thompson when he taught that book called Money Cometh. Why? Because he realized that he had the ability to call that which be not as though it were. So instead of complaining about your money, start calling it. Instead of complaining about what your body going through, start calling it. We should know how to call things. We got 2,000, 10,000 minute plans on our cell phone. Everybody calling everybody but God. But the Bible say, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved means made whole. If you ain't being made whole, maybe you ain't calling. Maybe you ain't crying out enough. Let's look at the consistent nature of God. The Bible says right here, Genesis 2 and 23. Somebody say, God is consistent. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Same Greek Hebrew word, quara. He gave identity to the woman. 2 Peter 2 and 5, write it down. This is speaking about Noah. I'm trying to show you something. This is for those who don't believe that death and life is in the power of the tongue. See, you can't tell me if you believe that death and life is in the power of the tongue if you keep speaking the wrong stuff. You got to catch what I'm saying. You cannot allow wrong stuff to come out of your mouth because you have what you say. Jesus said, you have what you say. You have what you say. My God. Can I bless you? How about we come up, let's jump out of the Bible and let's go over here into the intellectual side. There is a scientist by the name Masaru Emoto. Go check him out. This man took bottles of distilled water and he spoke over the water and let the water freeze and it crystallized. And according to what he said, he had. He saw the crystals of the water turn evil. You got to catch what I'm saying. You can see the pictures of it. I wish I had the pictures so I could show it to you. The whole truth of it is, scientifically, we know that the molecular structure of a human body is watch this, is made up of over 70-something percent water. So when you speak, you can change the molecular structure of your life. Why do you think the Bible said the Spirit of God brooded upon the deep or the face of the waters? I'm trying to show you something right here. I can come into this room, and if two people have been arguing, I can feel the weight of their words. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Have you ever went in somebody's house and you could feel something was going on? Why? Because words are spirit and they are life or they're death. I'm trying to show you something here. You are not powerless. Here's the consistent nature of God. Noah. It jumped from Adam to Noah. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2 and 5 is speaking to Noah and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. He was a what? A preacher of righteousness. A lot of people think that Noah was saved because of the ark he built. The ark was a part of his obedience. For 120 years, he cried out and he spoke the word. He was a preacher, a proclaimer. The word preacher is translated herald, one who cries out. This is the consistent nature of God. That means he didn't allow. Listen, can you imagine him and seven other people and everybody else is living like hell and he's speaking a word? No matter what, a rain is coming, a flood is coming, a rain is coming, a flood is coming. Why do you think the Bible says that we and the spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. It's our crying out that's going to bring this whole thing to pass. I'm trying to show you something. Glory to God. Help me, Holy Ghost. The religious folk can't take this. It's all good, though. Abraham, Genesis 13:4. Tell me, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, God's nature is consistent. It says, unto the place of the altar, Genesis 13:4, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Hebrew word quarrel. How about Joshua? Y'all want to see the consistent nature of God? I mean, it's in the Bible. You know, it's funny how people don't believe that they got this kind of power, but I'm about to show it to you. You are exactly where you are because of what you've been saying. I guarantee you, shut your mouth from saying what you've been saying and start saying what God say. Do it for 30 days and look back and see where your life going to be. I promise you. I promise you. Don't say what you see in the natural. That's all a blindfold from the enemy. My God, help me, Holy Ghost. I'm trying to get this thing out. You know, because here's what happened. I am where I am because of what I've been saying out of my mouth. You got to catch what I'm saying. And I'm still saying more stuff. I'm saying 12, 13 pages of confessions and learning how to develop my human spirit even more every single day of my life. Even when I'm going through things, the enemy's attacking my mind. I told my wife, I said, the Lord gave me Joshua chapter 1. I said, how do I fight this battle? This is another pastor. I can't fight this battle. This is another pastor. And you know what? My wife said, he's carnal, because if he was spiritual, he wouldn't have did that. Amen. He would have never went behind your back and tried to get the building behind you. Somebody say, amen. Amen. So now I got a right to fight it. So I'm getting rid of that rebellious, lying, witchcraft devil. Amen. It was the Pharisees who crucified Jesus. Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. You want to see the consistent nature of God? Look at this. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, in the sight of all Israel, sun, stand still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. What is the Bible telling us here? That they were fighting a battle and it wasn't done yet. And Joshua, in the presence of everybody, pointed up and said, sun, stand still. I'm trying to tell you something. This is the consistent nature of God. You want to see another one? How about we see another one? How about Jeremiah? Verse 1, chapter 1, 9 to 10. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth. Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in your what? See, I have this day set thee over nations. I didn't just sit you in them. I set you over them. Over kingdoms. To root out. To pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. You and I have the ability of God, when we put his word in our mouth, to change the course of what's going on. How about Habakkuk? You never heard it like this before. I'm just going to bring it out. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. Write it down. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon tables, that he that readeth it may what? The word readeth is the Hebrew word quara. Didn't mean just sit down and read it. It mean grab that vision and start calling it. I'm trying to tell you something. You want to go where you never been before? If it ain't on paper, it don't exist. Get it down on paper. Once you get it down on paper, put it in your mouth. All you got to do is search the word and make sure that the promise lines up with what God said. And then 1 John tells us in chapter 5, verse 14, that this is the confidence that we have. That whatever we ask him, according to his will, we have the petitions that we desire. My God, here we go again. Y'all want one more? Somebody say the consistent nature of God. How about Elijah? James chapter 5, verse 16 to 18 says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Let's just stop right there. Pray one for another, that you may be. This is New Testament, y'all. This is after Jesus' death. Pray one for another that you may be. Well, I think he was speaking figuratively, Pastor. He was talking about spiritual healing. No. No. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Circle righteous man. See, you got to have a righteous man consciousness for this stuff to work. You can't be thinking, I'm some old sinner saved by grace and I'm nothing. And God, I don't understand why God uses me. I'm just the most terrible fart in the stomach. I mean, I'm just a bad person. I don't know why God uses me. You're not going to get anything accomplished talking like that. You're not going to get anything accomplished thinking like that. You got to raise the level of your mentality up to how God sees you. Here we go. 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions, just like you and I. And he did what? He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3.5 years. This was a man who did not have the Holy Ghost in him. This man prayed and commanded rain to stop, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Even John Wesley said that God has tied his hands to the church. Nothing happens in the earth except you and I pray. I'm trying to show you something. You can have what you say. Here we go. Here we go. Y'all want another one? This one is powerful. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. Turn there. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. We're going to stop right now after I finish this one right here. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. He said, let us go to the other side. Now, I want you to see something right here. He said, let us go to the other side. He also said, you were healed by his stripes. Watch this. He also said that he supplied all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He didn't say, I'll supply by your job. I'll supply by your talent. I'll supply by your bank account. He didn't say, I'll supply by that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at this right here. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm and wind. How many experienced in a storm, even though God has promised you some things? The waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awoke him and said unto him, Master, Master, don't you care that we perish? Can't you see we're going through all this? I thought you said by your stripes I'm healed. I thought you said you supply all my need. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? Why are you so full of fear? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of... No. I done skipped a whole bunch of stuff, didn't it? I skipped verse 39, the most important one. And he arose and he rebuked the wind. Now that word rebuke is powerful, because when I looked that word rebuke up in the Greek language, it meant that he stood up and he spoke against it sternly. He didn't just say it like Charlton Heston and him, his hair blowing and his blue eyeballs shining, and his ankles standing on the thing, and his clothes flopping in the wind. Peace be still. And he got a lamb in his arm and a cane. No, he didn't do that. He stood up on a bottom boat. I imagine he had an attitude, because you can look through the Bible. If you read between the lines, Jesus had attitudes all the time. He jumped up on a boat and he said, rebuke you in the name. Well, he didn't say in the name of Jesus, but you know. See, sometimes you don't get the attention of the devil if you're talking like old little bitty old, God said I'm healed, so I hope I'm healed. I think I'm healed, you know. You like that guy, you know, if I only had courage. You hear what I'm saying? I'm going to tell y'all something powerful. The Holy Ghost spoke to me. Y'all ready for it? You know where that stuff come from? A misconception of apostolic authority. See, I'm studying some right now, and the Lord told me he's going to take it nationwide. Hear what I'm about to say. There has to be a restoration of honor to the pastoral gift. Because we ain't just doing this because we went to school for it. We were summoned by God. You got to hear what I'm saying. And see, some people jumped up behind the podium because they went to Tyndale Bible College and they went to this one and they went to that one and they're teaching all kind of crap to people. And the people die full of what God put in them. Die without never knowing who they were in Christ. And then the men of God that God actually called, they talk about them and call them heretics and false prophets and stuff like that. The same way they did Jesus. Because Jesus taught the message that I'm teaching. I didn't get it from me. I got it from him. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. 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 Because people just want to stay stuck in these situations. Well, baby, you come to the wrong church. You want to stay stuck in your problem. If you want to stay living as a mere human being, this is the wrong church for you to be at. I'm releasing it right now. If you just want to come to church and sit down and get a good feeling on a Sunday and go out and feel like I did God a good service, this is the wrong place for you to be at. Because the word that I teach here, if you're carnal, you ain't going to last very long. I'm telling you right now, you ain't going to last very long. You either going to change or you're going to go. Why? Because I'm trying to raise up disciples. I'm tired of seeing people strung out on the street, stuck with drugs. Don't even know where they're going in life, and Christians ain't got no power. Everybody trying to give them a handout rather than empowering them, showing them who they are in Christ. Give them a fish sandwich. I told a homeless person the other day no, and don't get mad at me. See, some people think that's no. I told them no. Now I pass a sandwich out to one guy. I ain't giving nobody no more money. You better hear what I'm saying. I ain't giving nobody no more money. That don't mean I got a bad heart. You got to hear what I'm saying. I did that my whole life and it ain't changed nothing. Now I'm speaking a word over people. Now I'm trying to empower them, tell them who they are in Christ. You hear what I'm saying? Now we was in Chicago and there was a lady standing out there and she said, you know, she had worked for food and I gave her, you know, one of my hot dogs and my daughter went in and brought her a pop. And we're telling the truth. So I'm not saying that I'm being mean to people. I'm trying to show you something. Sometimes we become a crutch to people. You got to hear what I'm saying. Always helping them, always fixing their problems, always encouraging them, always, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. And guess what? They waiting for you to do it. That's what they're trying to do. But baby, guess what? God ain't made no impotent sons or daughters. God wants them to start believing for themselves. Shaka Zulu. Amen. I'm going to give you a food basket, all right? I'm going to take a box and put a Bible in it. Hear what I'm saying? Now listen. I'm not saying I'm not going to get food baskets. Hear my heart. Please hear my heart. Come on. Ain't y'all tired of seeing people just get beat up by life? You know what I mean? Then you go to church and you sit down. The preacher ain't saying nothing. All he's talking about is, you know, the Lord Jesus, he walked on water. And after he walked on water, he said, oh, thee of little faith. See, you have to know how to trust the Lord. My friend, trust God. Trust him. No matter what you're going, devil beating you upside your head, just trust him because he's so full of love. God is love and just trust him. Amen. Then I go home, the devil start punching me in the bridge of my nose and smacking me upside my head. Hey, I need me some meat. I'm tired of eating your oatmeal. You better give me some steak, some filet mignon with some butter sauce on it or something. You better give me something I can eat and start digging that meat out my teeth. Get me irritated like I can't get that meat out my teeth. See, that's what the Holy Ghost wants for you. He wants some meat stuck in your teeth. So when you get in a situation, you got something to pull out. Stand up on the edge of that boat and say, I rebuke you sternly. Amen. People going through problems for 20 years and ain't seeing no turnaround. Them days is over. I declare it in Jesus' name. Going through the same bush, running around like the wilderness, you know what I mean? But my shoes ain't wore out, praise the Lord. No, God didn't mean for you to run around that same thing for 40 years. Am I talking to somebody? I'm trying to get you on the edge of your boat. Amen. You know, we should never say sick and tired, but you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I can't stand seeing people go through. It irritates me. Don't it irritate y'all? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm almost done, y'all. I know this. Y'all can tell y'all family y'all went to church today. Let me show you some powerful words. Turn to Acts chapter 5. Just turn it right quick. I'm just showing it to you. You'll never see it like this before. I'm telling you, Acts chapter 5. Y'all remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira? I'm going to bring something out that you probably never seen. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. You know the whole story. The husband and wife, they had property, and everybody was bringing their property, you know, selling it, bringing the money, bringing it to the apostles' feet and everything. And verse 4, it says, while it remained, verse 3, Peter said to Ananias, why hath Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not yours in your own power after you sold it? Was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this in your heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Look at verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. I'm telling you that there is a power that's being released to the body of Christ right now that's going to bring reverence back to the house. I'm telling you. You better catch what I'm saying. The church, the inception of the church, it was born in power. Right after that happened, the wife came in. She got her fingernails done. You know what I mean? She had arched her eyebrows. She walked in switching. You know what I'm saying? And she came in. And she lied to the man of God too. And he said, you know what? Watch this. He said, the same men that walked in here, their feet that dragged your husband, going to drag you out too. After hearing those words, bam. We're getting to the place that when we say a word out of our mouth, we're going to mean what we say. Hear what I'm saying? Because now we can't afford to be saying, you know, talking out both sides of your mouth. The Bible says in the book of James that sweet water and bitter water should not come from the same fountain. Hear what I'm saying? You want, watch this right here. Look what Jesus said. You hear me preach it all the time. Turn to Mark chapter 11. I'm about to be done right now. Mark chapter 11. Look at this right here. This is the consistent nature of God. It's all throughout the whole Bible. Verse 21, Peter called into remembrance. He said, Master, behold, the fig tree that you cursed is wither away. Now, we can believe that Jesus can curse the fig tree, but now let's look at what Jesus does. He transfers this consistent nature of God to his people. Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. The original Hebrew says, have the God kind of faith. What is the God kind of faith? He calls things that be not as though they were. Verse 23, verily I say unto you, or truthfully, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. He didn't tell you to dig the mountain. The mountain could be your problem. He didn't tell you to put your trust in the doctor. He didn't tell you to put your trust in the bank. He didn't tell you to put your trust in your job. Put your trust in your business idea. He didn't tell you to do that. He said, talk to it. I'm trying to show you something. You are not a mere human being. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You have been redeemed. Now dig in the Word of God and find the redemption promises. Find who you are, what you have, and what you're able to do. Burn it in your human spirit until there's nothing else left but what God said. Turn the TV off. Get consistent with it. Can I be a real pastor? Shut down every association that you have that's not a good association. Cut them off. Amen. I grew up with people in the city. I can't hang out with them. They know what I'm doing. They won't come hang with me. Service on Wednesday, service on Sunday, whether they like it or not. Now, does that make me a mean person? No. But I can't be hanging out with them being 40 years old, listening to hip-hop music with, you know what I'm saying, and trying to be what God called me to be. Somebody say amen to this. Is this real talk? Yeah. I want to be a real man. Amen. I am a real man. You real men in this body of Christ right here. Real men got to get around real men. Run around 50 years old still sleeping around with teenagers. Amen. Come on. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. And they think they fly riding around on bicycles like Debo. I saw one in Chicago the other day. 40 years old, riding around on a bicycle. I wanted to yell out the window and say, hey, Debo! Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Some people get mad at that stuff. We need some real apostolic authority in the body of Christ. We got men standing up trying to please everybody. I ain't trying to please nobody. Amen. We got to say the truth. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. I prophesy right now, I'm the most prosperous, rich pastor in this whole region. I decree it right now. I decree it right now. Amen. I got a beautiful wife, so I don't need nobody else. Amen. Come on. Come on. Somebody say amen to this. Got to be sleeping with the people in the congregation and stuff like that. Come on, somebody say amen. Them days is over with. You know what I mean? Because whatever you are, you're going to duplicate. Next thing you know, all your people in your congregation are going to be having sexual problems. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. See, we're trying to be the body of Christ. Yeah. Amen. We're trying to get people free. See, we getting back to the place, mama, that when people come up to the altar and we lay hands on them and they got a disease and the doctor said no cure and I lay my hands on them, there's so much glory in this house because the man of God done straightened everybody up in here that I say, be healed. Boom, that thing gone. That's what I'm talking about. But we shouting and spitting and T.D. Jake wiping our mouth off. Ah, Jesus, glory. And ain't nobody getting healed. Why? Because it ain't no power. You know why? Because ain't nobody being taught who they are. You want to know why? Because everybody's still living carnal. But them days are over. Y'all catching this thing right here? Come on, stand to your feet if you want to see a change and a shift. You got to hear what I'm saying. A shift. A shift. Amen. Praise God. It got quiet in here, didn't it? Amen. Praise God. Amen.